This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Ian, Bonnie, and Mark joining you here tonight. You can join us online anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. We do have our own social media platform, and we run the thing. It's on our server. That means that we get to set the rules, and our rules are basically you can express yourself and say what you want. You don't have to agree with us to post over at social.freetalklive.com. That's social.freetalklive.com. We go back to Olivia in Arizona. I think there was probably some point you were driving at here, Olivia, and we just didn't have enough time in the last hour, but now we do. So go ahead.
Sure. So I'm actually currently in Texas at the moment, and I was reading the local newspaper because, you know, I love the newspaper, and there's a new bill in Texas that's being, it was approved, it's heading to the Senate for full consideration. It's called SB 224, and it, so you know how America is supposed to be your assumed innocent until proven guilty?
Yes.
This is a law that, under this bill, a person who is in possession of one or more catalytic converters is presumed to have stolen them unless they can prove otherwise. And to quote John Whitmire, who is some committee chair, he says, the thrust of the legislation is if you've got it, the presumption is that you're a thief because you shouldn't have more than one. You shouldn't even have one that's not operating on your vehicle. And it's turning, just possessing a catalytic converter without the proper paperwork they want is a, would be a state jail felony, which comes with a
wow.
sentence of up to 2 years in prison.
In Arizona?
No, Texas.
This is in Texas.
Wow. So
I have my wife, ex-wife, had a catalytic converter on her Prius, and it, apparently it's special in some way or another. It's a big catalytic converter. I don't know. But at one point, a mechanic, a friend of mine, said, hey, never park that thing overnight someplace because you'll come, the catalytic converter will be gone. And apparently it's very, valuable. So we've always, you know, she's always been careful about it and I've reminded her and, you know, it's a big deal. Now, I admittedly cannot tell you why your average person would be wandering around with more than one catalytic converter. And, you know, I mean, perhaps that is a sort of a danger sign, as something, because cops look for things, right? You know, if you're driving a, 1982 Le Mans in, bowling ball purple with giant, gold rims, you're probably going to get pulled over because they're just going to guess that you fit some kind of profile. But it seems wrong.
I wonder what
it is wrong. They keep claiming that these are vicious thieves, and we all know the reason people steal catalytic converters instead of, say, robbing a bank is because it's a sneak thief. It's a sneak thief thing to do. It's not, but they keep talking about, oh, they're so violent. They all have guns. Oh, that's the other part that I wanted to comment on. So if you stole the catalytic converter with a firearm on you, you don't even have to pull it out. You don't have to use it. If you just have it on you, then that would enhance the penalties. And my question is, how would they know if you had one? If they can't catch you in the act of it, they're just going to assume you stole it. If you own guns at all, are they going to assume that you had a gun on you while you were stealing it and they're just going to enhance it? I mean, if they're just going to start assuming things, where does it end?
Yeah,
right?
It sounds like a really bad bill, and hopefully it will fail.
I'll point out that this is true with any kind of thievery. So if you break into a house without a gun, it's a much smaller crime than if you break into a house with a gun. The difference is burglary and armed burglary. Now, what I imagine the lawmakers never imagined when they wrote this was that people who break into a house and steal a gun, because guns are valuable, right, and take it out of the house, have now committed armed burglary. You know, maybe they meant to do that, maybe they didn't, I don't know, but that's a little something that people ought to know.
According to an article here on NPR, the value of the catalytic converters is in the metals, apparently, that are inside of it. And by the way, it's worth pointing out for listeners that may not be familiar, the catalytic converter, as I understand the history, and I'm not a car buff, but as I understand the history, it is a mandated piece of equipment that never existed prior to the government deciding to force all automotive manufacturers to put these things under the hood of every car made after whatever the hell year it was. I don't know if it was the 70s or the 80s or whenever it was, but it brings the cost of cars up by like a couple thousand bucks.
Why does it like make emissions less or
That's
something?
That's the claim.
Hmm.
Yep. And that, you know, there's valuable metals in there. So essentially the government has created this situation of putting this little box of apparently rhodium is in there.
Oh, wow.
Which, according to this story, which was published in 2021, the price of rhodium at the time was $28,000 an ounce.
Who can you even get to sell catalytic converter-shaped rhodium, too, anyway? That's why I never understood why this is, like, so profitable.
Well,
you just melt it down or something?
There's apparently, you know, some shops that process scrap metal, and the owner says if you come in trying to sell catalytic converters, he's going to ask you for a lot of information to find out what your business is and try to get your driver's license, because they do get... apparently they have shearing machines like guillotines that slice open about 2,000 converters that arrive from legitimate suppliers around the country every day, probably people that are scrapping cars and then selling
right.
these things off.
Right, that's the legitimate sources, I would say, is that people bought a car and they're, you know, scrapping out the car. And as I understand, Priuses tend to junk for a lot more because their catalytic converters themselves, even if it doesn't run, is valuable. And these people would obviously want to sell them to somebody.
Yep, so this is insane. This thing the government forced to be under your hood is now a target for thieves, and now Texas is saying if you have more than one of them in your possession, you won't even have to go to trial. They're just going to throw you in a jail cell and throw away the key. I mean, this obviously...
Almost nobody goes to trial. I mean, trials are a thing of the past. These are things that you know, almost only exist on television.
But we shouldn't... We shouldn't push it to where, like, oh, that's the only time we complain is if somebody... I don't know. I think we should always complain that people aren't getting trials, even if it becomes normal, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, the fact is this
Point
bill isn't
out
going anywhere.
Due process
it's
really
dead,
is.
This thing's going to be dead in the water, Olivia. I mean, it's...
Why do you think that?
Because it clearly violates even the semblance of due process.
They're number 49 in
personal
freedom.
Freedoms. Yeah, I understand. They're pushing to be number 50 with this kind of stuff. But I don't think this
Texas.
Is going anywhere.
Yeah, Texas is number 49 in personal freedoms.
Personal freedom, huh?
And overall, they're like... lower than 25, they're lower,
they're pretty much
mid-pack, but lower.
So, Olivia, yeah,
I wonder what it is specifically, because, you know, I've lived in Texas briefly, and I've lived in Florida a lot, and, you know, one's number two, and one's number 25, and I didn't notice a lot of differences.
Well, I mean, drugs is huge. I was always just like, I mean, when I first got here, even I was just like, ugh. Marijuana is going to get me thrown in jail. It's going to get me thrown in jail. And then people are just like, oh, it's no big deal here. Or like Maine, smoking weed in the middle of the, like downtown Center Square is like normal. And I don't know, you could get huge consequences for drugs in Texas, is what I'm trying to say.
Olivia, I just wouldn't worry too much about this one. Anything else you want to share?
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask Mark. He said his ex-wife, did he recently get divorced?
November 2020.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. That's rough.
Hey, it just means he's on the open market, Olivia.
It's best for everybody.
Well, I have a boyfriend now.
All right. Nice. Thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate hearing from you. The number is 603-283-6160, and you can bring up absolutely anything you want to discuss. We were talking about this Elizabeth Warren, who is a senator.
Creature.
Yes, she's
usually say this blah 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 character, but I beat you.
She's definitely
a creature.
She is anti-crypto, forming what she called, apparently, or maybe it was Politico that profiled her, called it an anti-crypto army. She's on the Senate Banking Committee, according to Forbes.com, that oversees, guess who? The Securities and Exchange Commission, the very same government bureaucracy that is going after the biggest of the big. They're going after Coinbase now after already defeating Library and the court system. They're targeting, in a different case, the Ripple cryptocurrency, and that one is we're awaiting the judge's ruling on that. All the arguments have been made in that case, and the judge has yet to rule. Could be tomorrow, could be 2 weeks, could be two more months, who knows. But then they're also going after Coinbase, and they've been going after a bunch of different places. So she's probably behind the scenes doing something with that.
I would love to get some leaked audio or a transcript of a conversation between sort of the banks and the law enforcement agencies that are out there. Because the SEC wouldn't care about cryptocurrency if their terrified banker paymasters weren't telling them, this has to be stopped. Mm-hmm. This is a superior form of currency. It is taking business from us. And if we don't stop it now, it's going to grow and metastasize into something that is going to kill us all. If you like the current world order and your place in it, you will stop cryptocurrency.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know
what
they say. I don't know, but it's clearly happening. It doesn't take any kind of imagination to see it. It's happening.
Yeah, what else would be happening? Like, the SEC is just like, oh, this is so dangerous. Why wouldn't they be going after dollars then?
Right. I mean,
it's their currency.
What they used to say about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies was they're used by criminals and terrorists, right?
Yep.
But notice they didn't do anything. You're absolutely right, Bonnie, and it's worth mentioning that. United States dollars and euros were far more used by these organizations to do their work. But
probably gift cards are more used than cryptocurrency to scam people. Hmm. Even today.
They probably are.
I know a girl my age that got scammed by, this is the IRS. Go to Target and buy gift cards now. She's stupid, though, but seriously.
Well, I mean, it does. The IRS would never ask you for gift cards.
Of course not.
From Target.
Or any of those things. They would never do that.
Over a phone call, too.
Yeah, I mean, well, the phone call is your first hint. Yeah. But sometimes the IRS does make telephone calls to people. But they obviously would never ask you for cryptocurrency.
Apparently it's not obvious enough, because a lot of people fall for this crap.
What's important, what I wanted to get out here was, not that people get scammed, and sometimes cryptocurrency is the way that it's done, because that's absolutely true. Sometimes people get scammed, and cryptocurrency is at the heart of it. And that happened to you, Ian, and I'm sorry that happened. But the real problem is that when the government said that terrorists were using cryptocurrency, they did nothing. Now that they're saying, you know, that their banks and stuff are saying, this is a legitimate form of investment. They are cracking down on everybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Now, one wonders why. I think I know why, which is to say they are now going to create a white list of crypto and a black list of crypto. That way they can decide who's going where.
The SEC already kind of did that.
What do you mean?
They said that everything's a security except like
Bitcoin
and Ethereum.
No, they're going after Ethereum too.
Oh.
Well, let me explain what I mean a little more clearly, and not to say what you're saying is false, just what I was trying to say. For instance, Mt. Gox. If everybody remembers this website that was the first cryptocurrency exchange, it went down, and it was legitimate scam artist. The guy who was running it got ripped off, and he decided to keep on running it and see whether he could make the money back rather than just saying, hey, guys, sorry, something bad happened. And, of course, he didn't have great security, and that's what happened back in the early days of cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people lost a lot of cryptocurrency. It wasn't worth nearly as much. Bitcoin was at its peak worth, was it $1,000, Ian, or was it $100?
I don't remember.
It wasn't worth that
MP
much.
MP Gox went down.
And I went on air multiple times and said, get your money out of Mt. Gox before it went down. But when it went down, I had the smallest amount in there. It was the smallest amount you couldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
There's always this little bit of change of Satoshis. And so I've been on this list ever since, of the, you know, the Japanese bankruptcy court.
Mm.
And they keep on, they're sending now red, bold characters at me. You need to register for your cryptocurrency. This is the final. It's been the final for 5 years, by the way. But whatever. And I won't do it. And here's the reason. If they send me, let's say I've got, I don't know, what did 35 cents or whatever it was in cryptocurrency turn into? Let's say it turned into $350.
Okay.
So if there's $350 out there, that's not chump change. You know, I can go to lunch all month long on $35. $350, excuse me. I can go to lunch a lot. But I'm not going to take it because if they send it to me, it's quite possible that it might get mixed in with other cryptocurrency that I have. And then they'll be able to backtrack wallets and sort of look around. Aha, this wallet is and that one there. And they can, you know, now that we have these chatbots and that sort of thing, this AI that can do all this work for the government, they're going to know everybody's wallet that this stuff mixes in with. And I just decided, it's not worth the trouble. They probably have me already, but why would I give them, you know, why would I open the door and let them in?
There's that, and it's just like, I think that things should be allowed to fail if the government is somehow backing Mt. Gox, the government of Japan.
The bankruptcy. They found some of the money, I guess. And
oh.
So they have a list of who had accounts or whatever on the system, and they're, you know, in theory, you could get your Bitcoin back, or at least some of it. I don't know what percentage you can get back, but that is happening for some people out there. And, of course, a solution around that, Mark, would be to just create an all-new Bitcoin wallet and then send the Bitcoin in there and then just never commingle it with any
yep,
of your other coins.
Would. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know how much it is.
If it was 35 Bitcoin, you'd probably be doing it.
Right, but like I said, it was the smallest amount, and
yeah.
I don't begrudge anybody doing it. A friend of mine asked me what I was going to do, and I told him, but this was the smallest amount that you know, you couldn't
point send. 0.001 or something.
Something like that, yeah.
All right, so this Elizabeth Warren, she is what they say is at the vanguard of a slew of anti-Bitcoin and crypto bills that have been introduced over the last year. She said in December, alongside the introduction of the Digital Asset Anti-Money Laundering Act, saying, quote, rogue nations, oligarchs, drug lords, and human traffickers.
What is a rogue nation? What is that supposed to mean?
North Korea.
North Korea. Yeah.
North Korea.
Oh. Iran. The nations that don't do what the United States wants them to do. So Russia, I guess, would be a rogue nation now, according to the U.S.
There was this whole, before the Ukrainian conflict, Russia was like, Bitcoin bad.
Mm-hmm.
Bitcoin bad. Mm-hmm. but then after it, it's kind of like, well, maybe Bitcoin, okay.
Right.
You were thinking that they were going to say absolutely, because if Russia said Bitcoin is digital currency in the Russian Empire, or whatever they said, the price would have skyrocketed.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
I don't advocate for what Russia did in this conflict. By no means do I. But at the same time, I don't advocate for what went on. You know, it takes two to tango, and there's a lot to tear that sort of thing apart.
So, obviously, I'm not familiar with this Digital Asset Anti-Money Laundering Act that this woman is pushing, but I'm not clear on how it's going to, quote, help close crypto money laundering loopholes. I'm sure it's just going to try to make things even more difficult to purchase and hold on to your own cryptocurrency. But, you know, asking people for their ID, that's already happening on all of the exchanges. They're
yeah, and I don't understand. The prosecution against Ian was trying to say that, oh, you're a criminal if you're using anything except Kraken, but yet they're going after Kraken because, I mean, they're saying two different things here.
Sure. Well, they're going after everyone.
They don't have a conversation together. They just do whatever will attack.
Well, right. Now, Kraken's not facing criminal charges at this point, and neither is Coinbase, but they are facing the potential destruction of their business, which is, of course, what we saw happen with Library And, you know, now they want to shove more regulations down these companies' throats, which is going to possibly result in, similar to what you predicted earlier, Mark, where there will only be big banks eventually after they've managed to wipe out some of the smaller banks and gobble them up with, you know, the biggies. You may see the same thing happening in the cryptocurrency industry, where we saw this last week, Bittrex, which is a U.S.-based exchange, announced they're closing their doors to U.S. customers. CX.io, which also is based, I believe, in the United States, announced that they would no longer be accepting bank transfers, so they sound like they're going crypto-only, no longer doing U.S. dollar-based transfers from and to their exchange. The SEC threatened a smaller Bitcoin exchange out of Chicago called Biaxi. They closed their doors. So we've already seen three Bitcoin exchanges, two of them fairly large, closing entirely. I mean, the CEX isn't shutting out their U.S. users just yet, but CEX did turn off staking as a service.
I just thought of something. Maybe somebody needs to make, like, really convince a big manufacturer somehow to start accepting crypto and then become just, like, a person who sells, you know, average things. Like, the thing is, like, we're going to need to buy Walmart things with crypto. How can we do that? Somebody needs to become friends with, like, a big manufacturer and tell them, I want to start selling things, but I want you to accept Bitcoin or some kind of crypto for it.
Well, easier said than done. We already do have Overstock.com, Bonnie. They were the first billion-dollar company that, I don't know, close to a decade ago now started taking Bitcoin.
They accept crypto outright?
Yep, they sure do.
Is that a manufacturer?
No.
Neither is
Amazon or Walmart. They don't do their own manufacturing.
Yeah,
that's not what I was saying.
Companies. But I wasn't saying we need a Walmart type thing. I was saying we need a manufacturer. Then the person can start their own Walmart type store and sell those things for Bitcoin still.
I guess I'm not really clear on what your vision is.
Like, say I become friends with a manufacturer.
That would make what?
Everything that Walmart makes, like lots of things.
Well, every manufacturer, I mean, Walmart has a bunch of manufacturers that are working for them.
Then maybe you need more than one.
Okay. So you're talking about at the wholesale level?
Make some kind of store that sells things for Bitcoin. I buy the stuff for Bitcoin, and then I sell it for Bitcoin. I get it made for Bitcoin, and I sell it for Bitcoin.
Mm. Yeah, that's the tricky part, is getting people who are the actual manufacturers to accept Bitcoin. There's no doubt about that.
I remember BitcoinStore.com. Ian, do you remember BitcoinStore.com?
Yeah, I think Roger Ver put that together back in the day, right?
I just typed it in. It looks like you can buy crypto shirts and crypto hoodies. You know, there's flip-flops and T-shirts and stuff like that, but not what it used to be. I bought a Lenovo laptop on there. I wonder what these companies or what the United States government is doing to cryptocurrency exchanges that exist outside of the United States. Like,
oh, they're threatening Binance. That came out last week.
Well,
so
they're awfully big.
They're the biggest. The CFTC, the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, is going after Binance with a lawsuit alleging all kinds of things. And there's more coming up here. Free Talk Live.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
We'll be right back. USA News update. Security will be tight for tomorrow's arraignment of former President Trump in Manhattan. Former NYPD Chief Terrence Monaghan says the courthouse will basically be on lockdown.
Once he gets in that building, everything is going to be frozen. There's more than enough personnel to make sure that wherever the former president walks in that building, it's going to be secure.
As for outside the courthouse, Monaghan says the NYPD is hearing it's not going to be that bad, but you always have to expect the unexpected. President Biden highlighting his efforts to boost jobs and clean energy manufacturing. Visiting a Cummins manufacturing plant in Minnesota, the president laid out how the engine factory will start building electrolyzers in the U.S. for the first time, thanks to his Inflation Reduction Act. They're ditching masks in medical facilities in California. As of today, the state no longer requires masks for indoor health care and high-risk settings. That includes visits to your doctor and dentist. John Schaefer, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
If you want to join the show here, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian, Bonnie, and Mark joining you here tonight. And also, I do want to thank listeners like you who have become Free Talk Live supporters of our AMPS program, like Jake Leonard, who is a platinum-level supporter over at amps.freetalklive.com. Platinum meaning that Jake is contributing at least $25 a month. So thank you, Jake. That's five times what we ask. We only ask $5 a month, but he's going a little bit over that. So definitely appreciate the epic level support there. Once again, that's over at amps.freetalklive.com. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to get behind what we do here on the show, talking about the ideas of peace and liberty and freedom and cryptocurrency and other alternatives to the government money system here on the broadcast radio 7 nights a week, also online, of course, via podcast and live stream. So if you appreciate the work we do, please join Jake. You can do it for as little as $5 a month over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. We go to your calls and thoughts. We have David is on the line in Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live, David.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
What's on your mind tonight?
So this Elizabeth Warren and crypto thing, if the government has a blacklist of crypto, clearly that's the crypto you need to be in. Because if the government says something is bad, generally that means just the opposite.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good point. And we know that, well, I mean, the government just doesn't like any cryptocurrency at all. But the ones they really don't like are the privacy coins like Monero, because they have admitted that they cannot crack that. They have been begging. The IRS, if I recall correctly, has been begging the tech sector to somehow crack Monero for them. They're offering bounties to do that. And so far, from what I understand, they have failed.
And I get what Bonnie is talking about the whole manufacturers. She's thinking like Tide makes bleach, Tide makes like laundry soap for Monero, and then Walmart buys it in Monero and then sells it to you in Monero, that kind of thing, like a whole supply chain type thing. That's what she's talking about.
That'd be great, except what I was trying to say is cut out Walmart so they don't go after Walmart and then, oh, well, we can't buy from Walmart anymore with crypto. We need to use dollars.
You're saying you would be able to buy direct from a manufacturer?
Yeah, I was just saying if somebody started their own store, basically.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it could be done. It's not very common, though. A lot of the times, manufacturers don't want to sell direct to consumers. It's not unheard of.
I wasn't saying sell direct to consumers.
Saying start a store specifically to
sell it and
buy it for
Bitcoin.
What she's saying, Ian, is to simplify the supply line from top to bottom in cryptocurrency, because mm-hmm. that's what happens.
Sure. Yeah, it'd be great. I mean, this is like ultimately the holy grail for cryptocurrency fanatics, is to actually get wholesalers or manufacturers to come on board and accept crypto. We have seen, I haven't seen it in person, but Mark, maybe you've seen this down in St. Kitts and Nevis, where there's a guy who actually is the liquor wholesaler. Now, he's not the manufacturer, but that's the closest I think anyone in crypto has ever gotten to doing kind of what you're talking about, Bonnie. You know, it's one thing to convince a mom-and-pop business to start accepting cryptocurrency at the point of sale. We've done that here in New Hampshire to some extent with some local businesses. That you can do. But one of the big objections you get from people is, well, yeah, it's fine to accept this from my customers, but ultimately at some point, if it becomes popular enough, I'm going to have to convert it to dollars because my wholesaler, my suppliers don't accept it. So the guy in St. Kitts, his name is Sonny, and he is the liquor wholesaler that basically services every restaurant, every bar on this island, and he has managed through his position and knowing everybody in the restaurant and the hospitality industry, has gone in and gotten places like even the Burger King are now taking Bitcoin Cash on that island. I mean, this guy knows everybody, and if you get it's all about who you know in life, and you get the right people. Now, whether he's going to be able to convince Seagram's or whoever the manufacturers are to accept Bitcoin all the way up the line, that's another question.
We already have a friend that has a store that accepts Bitcoin at the point of sale.
Sure.
What if we? I don't know, I guess Ian can't really help with this, but like me and Chris Wade or someone help get their suppliers on board with accepting crypto.
How would you do that?
Talk to them.
Why would the supplier care what you, a retail customer, thinks?
What do you mean?
You're not their customer. I mean, by proxy you are, because if obviously you don't buy their brand product and you go with somebody else, then they're not going to want that to happen. But to some extent, you're not their direct customer.
Well, me and Chris Wade, well, like the Shifry Church and Chris Wade are involved in the store.
Sure. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. You're referring to a convenience store here in Keene. I just don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to talk you out of it, Bonnie. I know it's, you got a really long road ahead of you. I mean, they're going to have to experience some demand coming from more than one point of information. More than two individuals in Keene, New Hampshire are going to have to be asking for this. They're going to have to hear it from store owners and more than one of them. In the same way that when we bring a local business owner on board, you usually can't just do it by being one guy going into the local taco. There's going to be a taco truck opening up here in Keene soon. If I go to the taco truck and I ask them if they take crypto, of course I can't use crypto, but if I were to ask them to take crypto or gold backs or whatever, and then, they say, oh, that sounds interesting. That's about as far as it's going to go, because unless they hear from a second, third, fourth, maybe a fifth customer, a handful of people. They're not going to take it seriously.
Right, and another important factor is to realize who you're asking. If you're asking the part-time high schooler that helps them sell tacos after school, they're not like your message hasn't gotten any farther. Mm-hmm. You say, "Hey, do you guys accept Bitcoin?" He says, right. Like, he has no idea what you've just said to him. Yeah. He's still trying to figure out how to run the register. What is this thing from 1947, right? He doesn't have any idea what he's doing. And then you ask him this, and I say he is, could be either sex. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But you have to ask basically the business owner. When you're talking about small businesses, you have to ask the business owner. Asking the manager at some restaurant is unlikely to be even successful. Like if I'm talking about a chain restaurant, you go to Applebee's and you ask the manager there if they'll accept cryptocurrency. I mean, you might as well have talked to them about the local baseball game, because that's about as fruitful as that conversation is going to be.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to shoot you down on this one. I wish you the best at making this happen, but I think you're going to run into a big brick wall. And in the case of a supplier, you're going to be running into the brick wall of the gatekeeper. You know, first things first, you're going to call up and you're going to say, "I want to talk to somebody about taking Bitcoin." And the secretary, the gatekeeper, is going to say, "Well, I'll just take your name and information and I'll be sure to give it to Mr. So-and-so, the manager here, and we'll..."
Don't call us. We'll call you.
Yeah, and then we'll get, you know, he'll get back to you when he gets a chance, and you'll never hear back. So,
well, what is the point of Bitcoin if people are just not going to even try stuff like this? That sounds hard. Why are you even saying this? I mean, it's just an idea I came up with 45 seconds ago.
Sure, but ideas are subject to criticism, and it has to be groundswell. It has to be grassroots. You have to get enough store owners on board to where those store owners are the ones that are then rattling the cage of the supplier.
Okay, but why are you saying it like I had said something like, "Yeah, and I'm going to do it all by myself. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do it all by myself."
I mean, you said it was going to be you.
I didn't say I was going to do it. I was just giving ideas.
Sure.
I was trying to make you understand. You're like, "I don't understand what you're talking about."
Yeah.
Any critique is a critique that is aimed at everybody who has a similar idea, so that they anybody who's willing to give you a critique, anyone who's willing to give you a critique has given you their most precious resource, their time and their attention and their mind. These are the best things that a person has. So if somebody's willing to do that, it is the greatest blessing that you can ask for them. And you know, if you can't find any response to it, then, you know, you spent 45 seconds thinking about something, you move on, the next 45 seconds think of something else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only giving this to you, Bonnie, because I've spent years working on recruiting local business owners to accept cryptocurrency. And I know how difficult that process is. And to extrapolate that out to a supplier would require the same approach, which is to say, get multiple customers of theirs, existing customers, telling them that they want to spend cryptocurrency to buy their product. That's what you would have to do. And in order to get that to happen, you've got to have the local business owners on board, and you've got to have them accepting enough cryptocurrency to where it's a conversation that you want to have with their supplier. And unfortunately, right now, we're in a situation where most people that are into cryptocurrency or Bitcoin or whatever are just in it for the number go up reason. They're not in it because they think it's going to be a better form of currency. They just want to see, you know, they want to make, quote unquote, make money at buying
to the moon
stuff. Yeah, so you don't see a large desire amongst cryptocurrency users to actually go out and spend it. I mean, Bonnie, you've been to the crypto meetups. You know how few people there are who are even within the libertarian movement willing to spend their cryptocurrency. So why on earth would a supplier want to even listen to a pitch about this?
Well, we're kind of too late, Ian. There's nothing else.
Too late?
The world is literally going to become slavery, human slavery, 100%, or people just start trying things like this. I don't think that we have, 10 to 15 years to make people understand what Bitcoin's really about, because the last 10 didn't work.
Well, unfortunately, you're up against the big bankers who have taken over Bitcoin. I mean, we could be there with Bitcoin being an actual useful alternative to government monies, but the government banker types essentially infiltrated Bitcoin back in 2017 and set the cryptocurrency industry back by probably a decade as far as getting it adopted for the purpose of being peer-to-peer electronic cash.
Maybe just Bitcoin?
There are stages here. Isn't there like four or five stages? First, they don't know you exist. Next, they laugh at you.
Mm-hmm.
Then they fight you, and then you win.
Yeah, that's
right. We're in that they're fighting you stage. So that is step three on that four-step ladder. The next step is you win.
I think that is just if you win. That's the idea of if you win. That's how it goes. If they fight you and you lose, then it's over. There was only three steps. And that's why I don't think people need to just wait around for people to figure out what crypto's all about.
But they can't.
Bonnie.
They cannot win their fight. It's impossible. It's internet money. To shut it down, they would have to shut down the entire internet.
If
and
they
can't do that.
It's where most people can't use it, and no one's willing to try because they're terrified of what happened to Ian. I mean, look at the stupid Free Staters. The retarded Free Staters in New Hampshire. There's like 10 of them that even went to his thing. A lot of people came from out of state to go to his trial. It's like everybody's just like, I don't want to be involved. You're not involved by sitting in the freaking pews at the court. People are that scared of the government that they're just not doing anything. I'm not yelling at
you. People will only take so much pushing before they revolt, though. Look at something like January 6th. The reason that something like that even happened was because there was a reason for it to happen. You can blame Trump, you can blame whatever, but clearly people were interested in going into the Capitol and doing something, and that's why this happened.
I don't know what more people need than, like, they're about to, like, kill Ian Freeman. I mean, it's just, what's the difference between killing someone and putting him in jail for 70 years when he's 42?
Well, I don't even know if that would do anything.
Unfortunately, and I agree with you, Bonnie, I completely agree with you, but to everybody else, they don't know who Ian is. When things only affect people when they know somebody personally.
It really only affects people when they are being affected directly. I mean, the fact is, the cops could have come in here and executed me and executed Bonnie and executed Matt and everybody on the nobody. They could have completely set the house on fire or whatever, and there would have been some righteous outrage, and there might have been some protests or whatever, but that would have been, you know, the end of it, because cops are out of control and cops are killing people all the time, and we would just be a statistic at that point. So thankfully things didn't go in that direction.
Thank you. That's what I'm trying to say, and that's the problem.
What do you mean?
That if the cops killed us, nothing would happen. That's what I'm trying to say. That's the problem.
Well, but violence isn't the solution, right?
I don't think violence is the solution. People just need to be like, forget this. I'm only using crypto, or I'm just going to stand up and start doing something other than just being like, well,
what is that?
I'm a Free Stater that raises kids and homeschools my kids. I'm doing everything I can because I don't want to go to jail.
Well, okay, not everybody wants to go to jail, and they're not willing to take those kind of
risks.
Then
they should get the F out of New Hampshire. They should not be calling themselves quote-unquote libertarians at all, or acting like they're part of the quote-unquote fight.
As somebody who's done my share of civil disobedience over time, Bonnie, I definitely understand the frustration, because I've seen the potential for civil disobedience is a very, very effective form of, you know, working towards change, but it's also a very high-cost form of working towards change. And why
not if everyone's doing it.
I know, but you can't ever expect everyone to do everything.
Okay, every time I say everyone, you just take it like I mean every single person on the planet. I just mean not if all the libertarian people who say they care about this subject start doing it, or most of them, all of them except the complete cowards. The problem is that they're mostly cowards. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
I share your frustration. Like, I love
your righteous indignation.
Indeed, it's great for radio.
Sure.
I share your indignation on this. First off, I would say Bitcoin is absolutely not the answer. Bitcoin is basically tracked and controlled by the government. This is the Trojan horse at this point. They took the wild and free horse, wallowed it out, crawled up in it, and now they're asking you, you know, if you do happen to take it over the central bank digital currency, well, they're already infiltrated in that too.
I say Bitcoin.
I would like to say Monero. hold on. I'd like to say Monero is the way to go because, you know, it would always have a special place in my heart because it's a real privacy coin. Also, I would say, hey, look at what happened with the vaccine mandates and all the lockdowns and all those things. Americans did, people worldwide did finally stand up and say, no, we're not going to put up with this. So it is possible you can.
Go ahead, David.
Oh, God. Oh, I was just going to say real quick that the one really good and redeeming quality of Bitcoin is that as soon as you have Bitcoin, getting into something like Monero becomes exponentially easier.
That's
exponentially true. Easier. So if Bitcoin is the Trojan horse, sure, let everybody buy Bitcoin, let every single person own Bitcoin, and then they can get into whatever the heck other cryptocurrency they want, because once you're in it, it's so easy to go between coins.
Yeah, that's true. But to the point of what Bonnie's saying about getting businesses on board and people spending it, Monero makes it even harder, unfortunately, because it's a newer technology. To my knowledge, is not yet. I believe AnyPay is getting close to making this possible. I think.
Why would it even matter that the government is? Even if everyone just started using Bitcoin, okay. Well, let me just say Bitcoin Cash. If everybody was using Bitcoin Cash, the government can totally track that.
Mm-hmm.
But why would it even matter if, like, so many people were using it that they couldn't just go after everyone for one, and two, it was, like, severely hurting their business, which is the fraud of the United States dollar.
So, like, I see what you're saying. So everybody uses Bitcoin Cash, and no one decides to pay their taxes because, and the government can't come and take it away from you because they'd have to go after everybody on the planet, in the United States to do it.
Right. So and by everybody, you mean everybody who is interested in cryptocurrency, not actually everybody, because...
Well, yeah,
what you mean?
Exactly. Okay. Like, anybody who uses crypto at all, yeah. They couldn't go after everybody. They wouldn't have enough prison cells.
I want to say this to Bonnie's frustration in general. And David, thank you for the call and the comments here tonight. I do appreciate it. What you see happening generally when it comes to the rise of tyranny is that... Once it starts to affect people personally, they become more interested. So once inflation starts hitting people where it hurts...
It already has started.
It started, but it's not hyperinflation yet. There's excuses for it right now, and they're believing the excuses in a lot of cases. But if you look at countries that have seen this in recent years, you look at Venezuela, for instance, where there has been hyperinflation since there has been Bitcoin, then you see an increased interest in cryptocurrency. You see an increased interest in using these alternatives because then it's critical. Then it becomes important.
Point, with the United States, we're not Venezuela. The United States already has a plan B for that.
What do you mean?
They're just going to be like, use the CBDC and we're just going to start giving you money.
Well, and that may be a way for them to sort of cut people off at the knees and possibly stop people from moving over to crypto. But the point still remains, when there's desperate circumstances, people start looking desperately at other options. While we may want them to be aware now, they're just not, and they're going to need to have some more motivation to actually do something.
And the other thing that pisses me off is just, like, it's annoying that people are just like, oh, that's happening to Ian, that's so scary, thank God that's not happening to me, as if it's not a writing on the wall that's going to happen to you very soon. Like, if you're a free stater, you think you're just going to be homeschooling my kids and raising chickens and nothing will ever happen to me. They'll come after you eventually, and maybe you're not first on the list like Ian.
Yeah, well, that may be true. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Bonnie, I'm reminded of the Claire Wolf quote. It's too late to do anything about it and too early to shoot the bastards.
that quote's been around for like 20 years.
Yes, it has. And it was like, it's always felt accurate.
Yeah.
But another thing I would say is that any time that you want to control the actions of another person, get them to do the thing that you want. And believe me, Bonnie, I share your frustration on this topic. But you're doomed to failure. Like, the point that you can't even get free staters, people that would pick up and move for what presumably is a pretty similar value set, you can't even get them to show up, to show support for somebody one time in a 2-week case. The fact that you can't get that And we had like 50 people there show up, and that's a pretty good turnout. But
yeah,
how many movers does the Free State Project claim? 5,000? I mean, you know, they should have been walking around the courthouse the whole time, like the walls of Jericho or something. But no, you know, it's just not going to happen.
I mean, there's like big names that didn't show up, too. It was what is annoying. A lot of the people that showed up don't live in New Hampshire, and then a lot of people that showed up weren't like, you know, head of the Free State Project type of people.
Well,
I think Carla and Louie actually came to the protest.
The protest is the fun thing.
Well, I mean, not everybody has a bunch of time that they can sit in a courtroom all day.
Yeah, and people don't have 1 hour out of 2 weeks like Mark said. Yeah.
I don't think it would have made any difference.
Yeah. I agree. It wouldn't have made any difference, but...
But I get your point.
That was like the only thing they could do.
One wonders what the purpose of the Free State Project is if it isn't to show up at an event like this.
Right. My thing is, I think the only way that we'll ever have freedom is a large group of people who understand what the heck that means, standing up together and saying, like, no more. And if this situation isn't that catalyst, I don't know what... You're waiting around for somebody to get murdered or something. Because I don't know what could be worse than this.
I don't think you would see it with somebody getting murdered. I mean, I don't think you would see it. I mean, the fact is...
Okay, that's bad. That's not like making some kind of point against me or something.
I'm not trying to make a point against you. I get your frustration. I wish there was more of what you're talking about. But the reality is those 5,000 people are all focusing on different things. Some of them want to focus on raising a family. Some of them want to focus on, you know...
Then they should move to freaking
homeschooling
Alabama.
Homeschooling
Ronnie,
freedom.
If you can get anybody to move to the Free State Project, you've got an amazing thing. If you can get them there to just simply vote, you've done something incredible.
I think they're just taking up a spot. I think they're just taking up a house and making
it
more expensive.
It's not a spot in New Hampshire. Come on.
What?
It's not taking up a spot. I mean, there's all kinds of houses in New Hampshire.
That's
You've always
not even
got
true.
The 80-20 rule is always going to be in effect. 20% of the people are going to do 80% of the work, and 80% are going to do, you know, less than 20%.
There
That's
are tons
the
of people
of
that have said, like, I want to move to New Hampshire. I just can't find a house. And then there are people that move here,
they're
and they're like,
hard enough.
The there's houses have gone houses. From, like, 40 available whenever I searched it to 3 available of the type I like.
I guarantee you go on Craigslist right now, you can find houses for rent. There's more coming up here. The fact is, you do still need to get people of a like mind together. They're not all going to agree on what to do and what the right steps are, and that can be a little bit frustrating, but that's just the nature of the beast. I don't know a better option, or I guess you could move to St. Kitts County, where they actually do have a large amount of cryptocurrency acceptance. There's more coming up here. This is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.